Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning on the Roundtable. We welcome you and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll get to those in just a moment. We always love hearing from you, our listeners. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get right into what was a very, very busy political day here in the Capital Region of New York. And, of course, politically speaking, all eyes are on New York, so we will talk about that as well as many other subjects this morning. Alan Chartok is here looking very natty. Hello, sir.
You're referring, no doubt, to the tie that I had on, which I got in Memphis from the Laskys, who clothier to the king, and it's a very expensive tie. It's so expensive that while I voted for Bernie, I would be not right. It wouldn't be right for me to
you
say
have
how much.
You have a 1% tie on.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a 1% tie.
He could give the average contribution of Bernie supporters for that tie would be
six or seven times.
Yeah, I would believe so. It's very similar to the shirt I wear, though.
Very similar.
Patchwork.
Yes,
a patchwork
it is.
Tie.
It's hand stitched.
Yeah, I like
quite
it.
Simply.
That's very nice.
You.
Very good. And as Rosemary noted earlier, it goes very well with the black.
Oh, it does, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, it does. Almost everything goes well with black.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially when you have every color under the rainbow. Well, you look great, too.
And she's sort of dressed up a little bit today.
I'm in girl clothes today. I was saying I sort of feel like it. Transgendered
don't
a bit.
Say that.
I don't want readers, but I do because I never wear girl clothes.
You
dress,
look great.
Stockings, yeah.
You look very great.
And the Women's Council of the Chamber of Commerce is holding an armchair discussion today with three extremely powerful and great women, and I get to moderate it because of my WAMC.
Who are the moderators?
No, she's the moderator.
The moderatees?
Well, Nancy Zimper is the boss of my boss,
Nancy.
will be featured.
And the best part is you get an armchair.
I do get an armchair,
that's
yes.
Very nice.
Yes. Good for my back.
Is it open to the public? No, you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
no.
I would doubt it. But
doubt it.
Yeah, probably
okay.
Tickets are sold out.
The rest of you stay away.
Mike Spain is here, the associate editor of the Times Union, and this is what I've noticed, Mike. Your reporters were everywhere yesterday.
Oh, man.
It was exactly that. They had to divide and go everywhere.
I only went to one event, and I met four Times Union reporters.
Which one did you go to? It was exhilarating. From a news gathering organization's perspective, it was exhilarating to have this sort of team approach. You know, it was headed by Casey Seiler, our state editor, and our senior editor for local news, Teresa Buckley, and it was carried out great photography, great interviews in line with people talking about who they are and why they support their candidate, all kinds of anecdotes, color,
the
you name it.
The timeline you did on the front page is really fascinating because it gave people a great idea as to what was happening throughout the region yesterday. It all started off in the afternoon with, I think the Kasich event was actually scheduled first, but I think Bernie actually went on first, although Kasich had spoken downtown in Albany. And then he was at LaSalle Institute. Bernie Sanders was at the Washington Avenue Armory in downtown Albany. And then, of course, Donald Trump last night at the Times Union Center. A very busy day. So what do you make of the three events?
I have a question before
Yeah,
you
sure.
begin, okay? Because
yeah.
I was wondering about this, and
sure.
we talked about it this morning. When was there last a day like this in Albany? Would it have been under Rockefeller or Kennedy? Or
we think it's unprecedented that you would have three candidates. You might have had one coming in and one going out during the general election, but nobody recalls three major party candidates in town at the same time.
Now, see, I remember one day in 1988 where it was Jesse Jackson, mm-hmm. Michael Dukakis, and Paul Simon.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul Simon.
Okay, so
I remember
1988.
A great singer.
Remember he had the little bow tie from Illinois, right?
Yeah. He was an economist.
Yes, and I believe, there were also those events were very small.
Yeah.
Maybe 50, 60 people in the concourse of Albany, and that was about it.
Now, why is it different now? Because Trump had his people claim there were 20,000 people, but if you looked around the Times Union Center, which only holds 17,000, there were vast areas that were not filled in the upper decks. So it's probably more like 12 to 15.
Your editorial page editor who Facebook this morning that Donald Trump claimed that there were 20,000 people in an arena that holds 17 shortly before he talked about the media consistently lying.
Yes, right. That would be Jay Jochnowitz. He was over there. That's a good point. Well, but no question, there was a huge crowd, and it was the largest crowd. But Bernie Sanders filled the Washington Avenue Armory. It holds about 4,000 people. Another 2,000 people were outside.
Wow.
I liked how he went out and he spoke to the people.
Like a mini rally.
Bonus.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Would that
before
not make
the other
you
one.
Love him?
Yes,
yeah.
Before. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was appreciative of that. And then, of course, John Kasich had went over to the Capitol, and then he went over to LaSalle. That's a smaller venue, and it was a smaller crowd. They were very respectful. They all gave their stump speeches, essentially. We've heard what the message has been. You know, Trump talked about the Great Wall. You know, he talked about he disparaged his lying Ted Cruz opponent.
Ted.
Right. And he, you know, so it was full of the sound bites. And when protesters would stand up, they would, you know, they would say, get him out of here. Get him out. Send him home to his mother. You know, so, you know, we've seen the show before, but it was our show.
Well, that was the thing that surprised me, though. Didn't we hear, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but didn't we hear the following Wisconsin that there were 2 days that he was off the trail and they were rebooting and it was going to be a more mature campaign and that he was going to focus more on the issues and it was going to be more.
And you believe that?
No, this was a rally yesterday. I watched it on television. This was a rally that could have been given 4 months ago. I mean, there was no difference at all, except the fact that it may have had a little more cockiness and a little more vitriol. And God, did you ever think that would have been possible?
Yeah, well, when you have Carl Paladino kind of opening
as your warm-up,
right?
Yeah.
As your warm-up act, exactly. But you're right. People have speculated that there'll be a point where Trump begins to act more presidential and reins it in. He hasn't used any cuss words in a few months, Joe.
Well, he did have a major thing. I was looking up at the television we keep on the walls around here this morning, in which he said what we all know, which is that the Republican convention is rigged. He's getting ready.
Well, that's the new message. You know, he's getting ready for the fight.
Republican convention is rigged.
Right.
And by the way, it is.
It is. Yes, it is. Party rules are, this is not government. It's not democracy by any means. It is a political party using its rules to influence the selection of a candidate that they feel has got the best chance to win the presidency. And
by the way, there are some new presidential polls out this morning, which show Trump losing to everybody. Trump losing big time to Hillary, big time to Bernie.
More so to Bernie than to Hillary.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? And Hillary has a chance to lose to Kasich if Kasich were to get the nomination.
Well, you can understand those pairings. I mean, Trump and Bernie pull from, in many cases, some of the same people. That Democrat lower classes. Boy, I hate that. Sounds awful.
The demographic is lower income.
Lower
white
income.
People.
Yeah. Who might go? For Trump. Could instead go for Bernie, who also calls for blowing up the system. So you can see where that would happen.
I was also fascinated, as I said, that the one event I went to was the Kasich event, and as Mike indicated, it was much smaller, about 500 people there, seating for about 300. And but for the people that I was talking to, obviously this is anecdotal, but the thing was, first of all, I would say half of the people I spoke to had been to the Cruz rally. Too, and we're planning on going to the Trump rally. So they were.
That's
good. And I said, "Well, are you shopping?" And they said, "Oh no. Well, Kasich just seems very lovely, but I wouldn't vote for him because I don't think he'll win."
Wow.
And that was kind of the message that you got over and over again.
Did you get the feeling he was lovely?
I here's the one thing that I thought about Kasich that just to not disagree with you, Mike, but to just clarify, I think, just a little bit. You're absolutely right. It was the stump speech. But the one thing that Kasich does that I think is really interesting is that most of it is just him in the audience talking to people. No pre-screen questions.
That's right.
It is all just people getting up randomly asking questions about everything from transgender rights to Social Security to entitlement programs. And with that, and with that said, he's good on his feet, and it's interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I mean the message that he brings is that I'm the only one that can beat Hillary in the Republican group. But you're right, he's spontaneous. You know, people asked him about transgender rights, and he said, "I'm against all discrimination." You know, he knows how to respond to people on the spot, and that's a good trait. It's unfortunate that he doesn't get as much attention, but when you look at his numbers, he's only won a single
Marco
primary.
Marco Rubio still
has more delegates than he does.
And is still winning them, even when he's out of the race, is winning more. So
one of the stories that I sent out last night was a New York Times story about that question as to this candidate who has not won in the past month. He has only won his home state, and what is his relevance? Of course, he is saying, as he said twice yesterday, that the path to the nomination for him is that you're going to go to several ballots, and at some point they're going to say, okay, who can actually beat Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
And they're going to go back to the polls that you just cited and say, all right, he's the guy,
and they'll pick him. Although I would think they won't say, okay, Kasich, you're the guy. Okay, Paul Ryan, you're the guy.
I think that's why he's in, because that gives him a step up over Ryan, because he can say, I was in there. I was out. I've been out there, and Ryan didn't.
And they'll say, who cares?
Well, I don't know.
Who cares? Ryan's our guy.
Not if he's got polls that say he can do well against a Democrat. He has been out campaigning, so there's no revving up.
The other thing that surprised me yesterday at his rally was that very not so subtle courting of the Reagan Democrats. That really, we're no longer in the conservative states. We're in New York, so this is what I'm going to tell you about. This is how we pacify your type in Ohio, and this is how we're going to pacify you in New York.
How much do you guys think physical presence means in terms of an attractiveness as a vote getter?
That's a good question.
I mean, we know that there have been studies on this, of course, that senators, nobody in the Senate is under, so many feet tall that kind of thing. So I was watching Kasich yesterday. And I confess, and this is a very stupid thing to say, but I confess I was sort of turned off by his weak jaw. The real question is, do people make decisions based on what criteria?
But something could be said, let's just take a huge dynamic out of this. Let's just say on the Republican side.
Yeah.
You
don't think Donald Trump is handsome?
Oh, gosh.
I don't think it has.
Okay, hold your lettuce. That was sardonic. Go ahead.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is that if you were, let me put it in a classy way. If you are an editorial cartoonist for the Times Union.
Yeah.
You could have fun with all of those candidates.
Absolutely. And they do.
Right. They have exaggerated characteristics. Yes.
But here's the thing. Of course, each one of these politicians, you're not a national-level politician if you don't have charisma. So there is something about being in the presence of, say, Bill Clinton. I think Kasich does.
No, I don't agree.
That's why.
Well, Joe, you were in his presence. What did you say?
I think the guy's a nebbish.
No. It's not high energy. It's not high energy. You don't get the idea. He jokes with the crowd, and yet there's not a lot of warmth there. And he is not. He's talking to the kids, and it's fun, but it isn't. It isn't like He's not a huggy guy. And I'm not saying that's necessary. But to Alan's point, do you expect everyone in there to that is supporting him fully to be eating vanilla ice cream or vanilla pudding? Yes.
Yeah. By the way, it's a serious question because I do like vanilla pudding.
I mean, it's just in comparison to the other one, it was very low energy, which is sort of why I chose to go to it, because it seemed a lot less taxing.
And I will keep your taxes down.
Yeah. Kind of relaxing political
rally. It wasn't that. Yeah. I didn't have to go through the metal detectors or anything. It was very easy.
Yeah. He was so nebbishy that you don't even have to go through the metal detectors.
Right.
Right. Well, one of the nice side parts about all this was a lot of students got to see this. A lot of families brought their kids. A lot of schools brought their kids into Albany. And of course, it happened at a school at LaSalle. And last week,
that's a good point.
You had Ted Cruz over at a school in Schenectady County. It's a good education.
All the colleges. And it was one of the things, you know, Kasich did say yesterday, I slightly disagree with him, but he said, I think he probably disagrees with himself, but he did say, watch this process because, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime, perhaps for us, of what this process is now in this convention. And then he said the thing that I questioned, which is, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, I don't know that it's going to be a lot of fun, but it is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Good attitude to go into it with.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get your letters and dissect this some more, and then we have many other topics to discuss. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org, and we will continue our roundtable panel after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. We have a lot of letters, so let's get to those letters.
Okay.
And we will then move on to some other topics.
I will go fast, knowing that I'll be criticized no matter what I do. Okay, here we go. So,
we won't criticize you.
Okay, no, you guys are good. So, so Matt Mann says, Ree, latest reporting. So you want to get on Donald's plane for Florida or Ted's tour of the Matzah Factory in Brooklyn? All right. Barbara says, did any candidate address climate change and energy policy besides Bernie? Okay, and then list some of those things you could do. A Kasich-Ryan ticket in either order would be the Democrats' nightmare, says Roger. Cruz is too far right and would lose. Trump is more dangerous because his populism could trump the opposition and he could actually win.
Just a quick interjection, but John Kasich, while campaigning very heavy for president, is equally campaigning against being a vice president, which I think would not be an advantage
to him, would it? To go from governor of New York to vice president?
A lot of people are saying he would be a good vice president.
He would be a good vice president. But even yesterday, he said, I have no interest in being, I want to be the top guy.
Yeah, or
I
don't want to.
Yeah, well,
like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You always say that, Joe. You have to say that. First of all, nobody's offering it to him yet, and you have to say it.
Do you say you wouldn't be a good vice president? Because that's what he said. He said, I wouldn't be a good vice
president. Well, Deval Patrick says the same thing. He says, he's my candidate for vice president. I think he would be great. He brings somebody of a different perspective. I think he gets people out.
Comes from the wrong place in the country, though.
Yes, he does.
Either one of the Democrats.
He does.
Hillary will probably pick someone named Castro.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so Todd in New Paltz says, talk about a rigged election system. I'm astounded at the Wyoming Democratic primary, where Bernie won 57-44 over Hillary, yet he only won 8 delegates to Hillary's 11.
It is not corrupt if you follow the rules of the game.
Well, see, you and I disagree, because I think it's morally corrupt to set up a system that way.
There's a way to change the system.
Well, I just wanted to finish that sentence, if you don't mind.
I do mind. You've said this before. There is a way to change the system. Bernie didn't do it.
Okay. All right. Ethan says, you forgot Trump's other new message from yesterday, namely, she's a liar, she's a liar, speaking of Hillary Clinton.
Was that the Trump remark about what did he say?
Everything about it is a big fat lie.
Big fat beautiful lie was the word that he used.
Yeah. Well, and then let's see here. Okay. And Terry, Trump thinks we're a democracy. I'm always surprised at how the media throws around the word democracy when we're in fact a very robust republic. Okay, that's exactly right. It's a republic, and he's a Republican. Don't you see? All right, Bernie. Might be possible that Bernie Sanders will run independently if he's denied the Democratic nomination. No, it is not. Emma says, updating U.S. law would transform the American economy. I don't know what that is, but it's something that has no business in my queue. Okay. Glenn says, there are lobbyists that are super delegates? Question mark. Exclamation point.
Yeah. Well, that is.
I'm assuming so.
What? Yes.
Yes. True. True. Hey, the way you get to be a delegate is you get to be important to the Democratic or Republican Party.
Well, and also a lot of them are former office holders within the state who, when they leave office, often become lobbyists.
They
right?
don't go home. Yep. Yeah. They don't go. They don't go home usually to their districts from which they were elected. They stay in Washington, where their kids were raised, and where you know the employment opportunities are there. Okay, Marlene. How Clinton's email scandal took root from the Washington Post. Dear Roundtable members, I listen when I can and wanted to bring this WAPO, W-A-P-O, article to your attention. Gives a different story. Okay, fine. Go to the Washington Post, everybody. And let's see here. Michael says, hi, panel. Early in this campaign, when asked how he would be able to deport 11 million undocumented aliens, Mr. Trump responded, it's called good management. And Louis says, good morning, panel. When do you think you might have the live studio camera on? Miss it, especially with my tie today. I probably won't wear this tie again. The new ETA that your money is being spent on to upgrade WAMC into the 21st century will be, I am told by our cracked engineering staff, it'll be probably not this Friday, but the following Friday.
Yeah, so in about 10 days.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Okay. And panel, did you notice the diversity of the audience sitting on the stage behind Trump? Two white women and all the rest, all white men.
And one woman who was on her cell phone the entire time. I noticed in watching that. I thought that was interesting. Like you waited 8 hours to get in and you're just going to talk? Okay.
George says, hey, Roundtable. So I hear that Trump compared protesters to ISIS. Seems like a McCarthyan non sequitur, in my opinion.
He did.
And Shay says, offended by Rosemary saying she feels transgendered at the beginning of the show because of the way she dresses is a serious, sensitive issue that shouldn't be subject of a tongue-in-cheek joke. And Rosemary calls herself a liberal.
I am a liberal. Please lighten up.
Hi,
Donald Trump has a point about political correctness.
I agree with that, by the way. I think that is why he has so many people who say you were patting him on the back and saying, you know, I want to tell a joke now and then. But, of course, when you're the subject of that joke, maybe you don't like it too much. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so Tom says,
I would tell that joke to a transgender friend.
I should have held off my praise. No picture. Tom likes to look at us on the video.
Yeah.
No picture. But I know what I'm listening to. You think it's about time Hillary released the transcript of the speech she gave at Goldman Sachs? There seems to be a difference of opinion about that. Somebody told me the other day when I said it on the air that she has.
My understanding was that those transcripts were out and about.
Wow. I didn't know that. I
was unaware of that. By the way, Goldman Sachs is in the news. They just made a $5 billion settlement with the Justice Department for selling mortgages they knew were not so good.
For nearly wrecking the world economy.
Yes,
$5 billion. Is that a good deal or not?
For them, I think it's a chump change. They get to write it off as a tax break.
Yes.
It costs them practically nothing.
There you go.
And Richard says, why are Americans always looking for a silver bullet president? Maybe a competent Congress would be a better focus.
Oh, yes. That's such a good point. Why is it so bad to have experience and knowledge? We want change and hope and outsiders.
Well, it hasn't worked, so let's try somebody who hasn't a clue.
Gosh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I looked up the Lone Ranger the other day because I had too much time on my hands. And talked about his use of the silver bullet. As you know, that was his symbol.
We do.
Is that he never used a silver bullet to shoot with, only to hand as a sort of identification that's who he was. He said, here, take this, and then people would see the silver bullet. They would know he was the Lone Ranger. All right. You don't care.
What kind of bullet did Barney Fife keep in his upper shirt pocket?
He just had a bullet, right?
Oh,
it was just the single bullet. It
the
was the
one
only
bullet.
One that that Andy would give him. This in the Daily News dated Saturday. Hillary Clinton says in the Daily News editorial board that Trump has paid more for Big Bang speeches and that she will release, so they are not released. She will only release transcripts of the three paid speeches if he does. So that's where we are in that issue as of this moment.
So
she has not.
Saturday Night Live should have a lot of fun with that, what that speech really was, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Raymond says, roundtable panels, super delegates are evidence that elections in the U.S. are as open to corruption or, quote, fixing as any capitalized banana republic. I have to laugh when I folks here think we are better. Ha! Get President Carter down to observe our own elections.
Well, there's a point to that. I'm headed to Jordan later this year to talk about election fraud and covering closed political systems. And I have a whole lot of American examples. But it is corruption is when you take the system and you abuse it. There's been no abuse of this system here. There is a system that you don't like.
You mean,
and you go out.
You mean in the parties there's no abuse of the system. People follow the rules.
No. Corruption is when you take a system that's given and you pollute it somehow. You corrupt it.
What would you call voter manipulation, ballot access in the U.S. where they limit it by law?
Voter suppression I would definitely call that. What we're talking about here is the Electoral College and the use of party rules. And those have been accepted over years. Should they be done away with? Yes, I'm totally in favor of direct
election.
So they are
election. Morally corrupt.
They're just not as workable. In today's modern era, I think we no longer need an electoral college. We can get the results in half an hour.
Yep, I agree, but ain't going to happen. So let's go to...
Well, that's a good one, too.
This one?
If I think the Democratic Party would nominate Hillary using superdelegates if Bernie gets the popular vote, I'm not as smart as he thinks I am.
Well,
I don't think Bernie has. Well, he doesn't have it yet.
Well, he doesn't have it. It doesn't look like he's going to get it. He may get it. I certainly tried to help. If he had
the popular vote, I think I would be on here saying he needs to have the nomination.
Yeah.
I think I would be saying that.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, right. A New York Times editorial cited caucuses as equally unfair as super delegates, but it is rarely addressed by the media. Please comment. I addressed it yesterday, you may remember.
In which I
said that caucuses are bad news. Yeah. They are bad news. That's a good way of doing this. Oh, okay.
Do you agree, Mike?
Yes.
What? Mike is shaking his head. I thought he had something to add.
No, I think California will be an interesting one. I mean, it may be over by June 7th, the day of the California primary, but there's 172 delegates for the Republicans, and there's 548 at stake for the Democrats. So that's voting, though.
It's not a caucus in California.
Right. No, it's not. But, I mean, it'll be interesting if Bernie is still in it then, how that 548 goes.
Good morning, says Thomas. I was dismayed to hear on this morning's roundtable panel that, according to a panel member, Bernie's intention was to blow up the system. This was right after the same person said Trump and Bernie both appealed to the lower classes.
That would be this person.
Bernie's
calling for a revolution. I believe the definition is blowing up the system.
Yeah.
I stand.
It's a metaphor.
Bernie is proposing a positive and desperately needed transformation of the system. His ideas for how to achieve these transformations are clearly defined and viable.
There's some debate about that, whether they're clearly defined. I would vote for him. If he gets the nomination, I'll vote for him. So just work harder, you guys.
Okay. Joe, do you see anything else?
I think we're good. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to other issues. And we welcome your letters. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Octavo Singers, presenting their fundraiser with performances, silent auction, raffles, music, food, and more at Proctor's Theater, Key Hall, April 17th from 11 to 4. OctavoSingers.com for details. Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, featuring exhibits, walking tours, research library, and more, now presenting Secret Stockade, Walking Tours with Lunch, SchenectadyHistorical.org. Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. AlarmsofBerkshireCounty.com. And Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York, purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, Chinese and Asian antiques, fine art, and estates. 518-587-8787.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. So there is a editorial in the Berkshire Eagle this morning saying eight is enough, according to Senator Grassley, Charles Grassley, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. The latest Republican rationalization for refusing to consider President Obama's Supreme Court nominee is that the court just doesn't need nine justices. And this also comes on top of the president last week talking about, well, okay, if the Republicans play this game and say that we're not going to do this, doesn't it stand to reason that if you have a Republican House or a Republican Senate, and then at that point the Republicans put up somebody and the Democrats say, yeah, we're not going to put it through, we're good, and then you go another 4 years with eight justices.
Yes, because remember that Obama appointed a lot of the justices on the next division of lower courts.
Right.
So therefore, you stay with what you want, and you're a winner. Well, Joe, one thing I saw about this editorial, which is really excellent, in the Berkshire Eagle this morning, is that the reason that Grassley was shooting back about these eight was because the Iowa newspaper called him to task and said he was, quote, un-American for not supporting the Constitution and doing what it said. That must have tickled him a little, because they've got a major candidate up against him, and I am sure he panicked. And this is exactly what I predicted, and we all predicted, was going to happen in the beginning when they decided they were going to just not consider the nominee. And so now they're getting what they deserved.
Yes.
Yeah, we were in rare agreement.
I do agree.
It's awkward, and I think the Republicans know it's awkward for them. They get the reason McConnell has taken this stand. Many are supporting him in it, but it does not mean that it puts them in a good place.
Well, you know, I love this business when we say there's many of them are supporting McConnell. The reason McConnell's doing it is because he is their mouthpiece.
Right.
It isn't the other way around. You know, he is taking the heat because he has to on their behalf, especially all those senators who are up for re-election who may well lose because of this.
Well, it's hard to say. Do you think they will lose?
Good.
Because they're, with the candidate that Barack Obama has proposed, how can they lose? How would he be unacceptable?
No, when I say lose, they may lose their election to the Senate as a result. So McConnell has to go out there and defend them and carry the mail for them and say, this is my idea, when he wouldn't be doing it unless his guys were all saying, come on, Mitch, you got to do this. You got to get in their faces, because we just don't want to lose that Supreme Court. It's way too important to us.
I'm increasingly having trouble seeing how McConnell wins by stopping the system, especially with the guy
with
who's
you.
Been proposed.
I agree with
that
you.
May have been his initial thought, but I think he's been outmaneuvered by Obama, and he's got to give in.
This is a 2-year-old tantrum. That's
yes.
what it is. You can't
well,
make
but he
me
just
do
survived
it.
Re-election, so his own seat is not at
yeah,
stake.
Which is
and
why he's
if
doing
the
it. Right.
Republic, I mean, there's a whole strategy, and there's certainly in the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan is taking a similar stride. There's a whole strategy to kind of disavow yourself from the presidential race and all of the statewide races for U.S. Senate and Congress are kind of going their own path, and I think McConnell has already signaled that, and he'll sort of take the blame on the Supreme Court thing, and the other guys will just try to make it a statewide election and not be affected by the national politics. You know, it just seems to be the way it's going. It's just like...
What is the indication, though, that the people supporting these senators whose seats are at stake like the idea of not filling the Supreme Court, especially when the candidate is so centrist, is so acceptable?
Rosemary, elections are won or lost quite frequently by a couple of percentage points. So that if you say somebody like Grassley is running and a very popular person is up against him and he loses by 5 points, that's considered to be a rout. 5 points is a huge electoral victory. So that's all I'm saying. There certainly will be many people out there who are going to say this was just wrong of them, and they're seeing that. By the way, Jordan wrote a note, Joe, if I may, saying Rosemary says she'd support Bernie if he wins the popular vote. After agreeing with his electoral loss in the Wyoming primary, how is that this defensible? I, on the other hand, think the fact that Rosemary is such a partisan for Hillary, and she is now saying no, but if Bernie prevails, I would vote for Bernie. That is very different from some of the mail we're getting from
right.
the Bernie supporters are saying, never, ever, I would never.
And
you
who know, are they going to vote for? They're not going to show up, and that's going to give Trump an advantage.
It is a point, exactly. It's a point I have made over and over again. It may not matter if you have a Prius and you drive around my hill and you clip coupons, but it will matter to many people on the lower end of the social spectrum in this country.
Socioeconomic spectrum,
yes,
probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good point. It seems to be an internal inconsistency, but I would say that when I say if he wins the popular vote, that's at the when we go to convention, we're going to know what the overall vote was for Hillary and what it was
sure.
for Bernie.
Yeah.
And right now, it still is, and she boasts about it all the time to the point of ad nauseum. It's still in Hillary's favor. So individually in Wyoming, which is not a primary, it's a caucus, and there are problems with that, but those are the rules of the game. She gave it up. She calculated how she could win the more electoral votes there without winning the popular vote. She played the game the way it's set up. I agree. I don't like the rules at all. I don't think there should be any caucuses. But that requires work way ahead of time to start changing the way we elect our president. So that's my point. I think you're right, though. I think that if you're a Democrat and you believe in the direction of the country that the Democrats have laid out, there's no way you can justify sitting out this election or voting for Trump.
Let's go to some letters in the final moments of the program.
Sarah says, if Hillary was 74 and Bernie was 68, would that be an issue? I would like to know who Bernie's pick would be for VP. To me, this is important. I have had a couple of those saying, we know how old you are, Alan, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you, but, you know, it's important to know that somebody would be willing to step in. You know, I wonder how many people really knew anything about Harry Truman, you know, back in the day. Nobody.
No, not even FDR, actually.
That's right. Yeah. I think it met him once or twice.
Yeah, they met him.
I think they met once before the election.
Okay, Rosemary made a tumbrel. What does T-U-M-B-R-E-L mean?
I don't know.
Remark, but it was inadvertent. We know her true feelings. Peter. Whatever. Hi, folks. Nebish, not in my Oxford dictionary. So I can only assume it's an ethnic word, maybe Yiddish. Yes, it is. Please remember, not all your listeners are familiar with your own ethnic lingo.
Ooh. Now, I just want to show you. Oxford dictionaries.
Yeah.
Nebish.
It's right there.
It is in the dictionary.
Yeah.
It is in the Oxford dictionary. Nebish, is, I think, is an accepted, that is a, mm-hmm. in fact, it even says an American, North American word.
And it means tell people who want some help.
A person, especially a man, who's regarded as ineffectual, timid, or submissive.
I don't see it that way. My definition of nebbish is basically a nothing.
A nobody.
See, I had always heard in growing up in my house, my father always used it as kind of a schlumpf kind of guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Schlumpf. Is that in the Oxford
Yeah, that's another, just using another Yiddish word that my father would regularly use. But
and then, of course, there's Schlemiel and Schlemiel, but that's another whole story.
Okay, what else we have?
Okay, Marion's comment. Marion notes all the buttons and souvenirs sold at Albany rallies yesterday were made in China, and that's from Marion. Okay.
And they interviewed somebody. Was it your – somebody interviewed
– Yes, it's in the Times Union.
Somebody interviewed the guy who sold the buttons and said, are you a Trump supporter? And he said, no, but I like making money off of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
True capitalist.
Yes.
It is.
Jerry says, the Republicans don't want a centrist on the Supreme Court. They want another Scalia. So when the right wing stalls on the vote, they're thrilled. And, yeah, thrilled to what end? When the Democrats, if the Democrats are elected, they'll be sorry because you'll get three or four nominees. Dumb. McConnell's opposition to the nomination, to his obstructionist stance over the past 8 years in general, has a racist tinge to it.
Alan, let me just ask you, as important as the presidency is, the next president will probably pick two or three Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
As important as that is, do you think the American public think of it that way? Is it on the minds of people that the next president is going to choose the Supreme Court?
In 30 seconds.
Not enough. Not enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And certainly the candidates are making that case as much.
Not enough.
But it's not in front of
the mind.
Let me
put it this way. In some ways, the Supreme Court is more important than the Congress. And we don't know.
Long live Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
We are out of time. Thank you very much. The roundtable will continue after this news break.